Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, November 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Get ready because today's program is all about trains. We have three experts in the studio here to talk about trains and model train collecting. They've swung by the studio as they prepare for Saturday's Albany Train Show. Together, Jeff Stege, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile have more than 75 years of experience buying and selling trains. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Never does a travel show go by that I don't bring up the fact that I love trains. So I love talking trains, and we'll do that coming up. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. Your calls are coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today's program all about trains, and we have three experts in the studio to keep everything on the rails. First up is Jeff Stege. He's an avid collector of Lionel and other O-gauge trains, particularly American and German trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in local railroad history, particularly the New York Central Line. Finally, Jeff is co-promoter of the Albany Train Show, which is the longest-running train show in the Capital District. Doug Bafaro also collects Lionel and other O-gauge trains. He has 30 years of collecting at model railroad experience. His knowledge of local railroad history centers around the Delaware and Hudson lines, as well as the New York Central. Doug is also a co-promoter of the Albany Train Show. Finally, John Basile has more than 50 years of collecting experience. He specializes in standard and wide-gauge trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in early short-line railroads in the Capital District and the Adirondacks. Jeff, Doug, John, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Rick.
Yes,
thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
Our number to call is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk trains today. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. When I walked in the studio and saw all these old classic trains, brought me back to the old days. My father used to collect them when he was a kid, and they were still hanging around in the house that he grew up in. And he had, I guess they were this size. So that's...
Yeah, that's O-gauge. That's O-gauge, right.
And that's what they... The main size from the old days?
That's the main size. When people think primarily of the 50s and the 40s and the 60s, O-gauge was the thing. Lionel was the dominant manufacturer at that time. There's another gauge called S-gauge, which was American Flyer, which a lot of people from that same era had as well.
This is something. This is great. And then over here, next to John Basile, is a huge train. I know my father didn't have those. What is that?
Well, that is a Lionel standard gauge steam locomotive from about 1935. Now, the Lionel Corporation is probably the best known of all the manufacturers.
Yeah.
But it started this gauge in 1906. Hmm. So there's much earlier versions for this gauge than this locomotive, but it is a big locomotive and it pulls big cars.
When we had them as kids, my brother and I had them, and I believe we had, they weren't O-gauge, I think we had some HO, but I think eventually it was the N-gauge, and those are the little teeny tiny ones over there.
Those are the teeny tiny ones. That scale is what's called 1/160th. So in terms of the prototype, it's 1/160th of the actual size of the real ones. And then HO, and the reason it's designated HO, it's half O. So, or O.
Oh,
you see.
I see.
And that's 1/87 scale. And then O gauge is actually 1/148 scale, or 1/48 scale. I don't know. What is standard gauge? Isn't it?
Standard gauge is approximately 1 foot equals 3/8 of an inch.
Oh, really?
Real things.
Yes, well, I'll be darned. What do you think? Why people have been collecting and playing with model trains for so long? What is it that first inspired the craze? Almost, I mean, some people you guys have it that craze to do this.
We do have the disease, yes.
Yeah. So what inspires that?
Go ahead, John.
Well, I can tell you a personal experience from when I was a small boy. Saturday nights back in the 1940s, my parents didn't have anything to do. They didn't have much money, so we got in the old 1937 Chevrolet, and we drove across the river to the Union Pacific and Rock Island tracks. Now, of course, the real thing, we didn't want to see steam locomotives. We wanted to see those new bright diesel locomotives pulling those beautiful passenger cars.
Yeah.
So that was a Saturday night. Then another Saturday night, we'd go to the Santa Fe station and watch the Santa Fe trains go by.
It just brings me back. I mean, you know, we only had, I think, a dining room table layout set up, but it was something.
Again, when you think of trains, a lot of people's first memories and lingering memories of trains are going to be a train around a Christmas tree. It's the holidays.
Yep.
And so they think of this thing that really creates that Christmas atmosphere, that Christmas magic, almost like a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah. You put your eye out, kid.
Yeah, put your eye out.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Jeff Stedge, Doug Bufaro, and John Basile are here. And the train show, the Albany train show, is coming up, right?
It certainly is, Ray. I didn't think you were going
to
mention that.
It's a little seg. Before we get to the calls, let's talk about the train show.
The train show is going to be this Saturday.
Oh, where?
Well, it's at the Polish Community Center, which is 225 Washington Avenue Extension.
Yeah.
A stone's throw from Cross Gates, although don't throw a stone over there.
Please don't.
It's going to run from 9 to 3.
And what will we see there?
Well, we're going to see over 100 vendor tables of trains and train-related items. We are going to have some working layouts. They're going to be an O-gauge layout, an HO layout, and two N-gauge layouts. We will have face painting for the young engineers.
Uh-huh.
We are going to have on hand and on premises our own train doctor, Doug Farley, who will fix your ailing trains right there. And we also will be able to do appraisals. So if anybody has any trains that they'd like us to take a look at, we can appraise them, tell you what the value of them is. And then we do have vendors down there that would be willing to buy them if that's what people are so interested in.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, I look at this standard and wide gauge train next to John, and I say, well, that's got to be worth a pretty penny. That's got to be worth a couple hundred bucks, that engine right there, yeah? Or am I wrong?
Well, you're right. It would cost... An original like this one would probably be between $300 and $500. It all depends on the condition of the paint. That's the critical part.
Well, that looks beautiful.
Well, this one is really a nice example.
And do you run these at your house?
Oh, yes. I run three of them at a time on my train layout. I also run O-gauge versions as well at the same time.
Crash them into each other?
No.
No?
We don't do that.
Okay, all right.
We try not to do that. Let's put it that way.
Just wanted to put it out there, you know? All right, guys, you ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
You know, I got to say, Doug, you've been very quiet. You want to say anything before we take calls?
Jeff has covered a lot of it.
Yeah. Are you sick of that? He pulls all the air out of the room, huh?
Part of it is that there's a lot of focus on the older trains because there's a lot of history there and whatnot, but the industry isn't blind to what's going on as far as technology and whatnot. So there is some attractiveness now to the new trains because of the detail, the sound systems that they're installing on them, the ability now to load an app on your cell phone and operate your trains with your cell phone.
I'm sorry, hold it. Stop for a minute. There are sound systems on model trains?
Phenomenal
sound
systems.
What is wrong with the world? Why do you need that?
It adds to the realism. It adds to the excitement of running the train. It just, you know, when you...
Oh, so it's sound effects. It's not like Beyonce playing through the train.
No.
I understand.
But
I gotcha.
You actually can do that on some models. You can record into the locomotive, and it will play back what you record into it, your own voice if you want to do station call. They've just taken it to a whole new level.
Well, that's pretty cool. All right, let's take some calls. 800-348-2551 is the phone number. Tanya in Catskill, you've been waiting a while. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So on my list of things to do was to get a train set this year for Christmas. I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. And my father had really old Lionel trains. I can't say how old they were. But they're the kind that you can't give little kids because you're worried they're going to drop them on their feet. Like, they're really, really heavy. So my first question, is there any way to kind of wonder if I could put those metal tracks together again and ever get that kind of set running again? Ooh. Is that even a possibility?
I'll bet there is a possibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, the Lionel from the 50s and the 60s, which I primarily collect, are probably some of the most dependable toys that have ever been made. I've literally bought locomotives that have been down in the basement for 20 years, cleaned them up, put them on a track, and they ran fine. What I might suggest is if you aren't sure, I mean, you still have the trains and you want to have them checked, as Jeff mentioned earlier, we have a train doctor at our show. Bring it along and let him take a look at it. And if it needs a little tune-up or whatnot, he'll be happy to do that for you.
And then as far as the kids, just have them wear steel-toed shoes, you know?
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, this train that I'm talking about, it came with, like, a box and a lever that ran the train that you would, like, run. I mean, we don't have that piece anymore. Is that necessary or?
That's your power source for your trains.
Well, that's
Again, we might suggest, and honestly, probably would be the best thing. Come to the show Saturday. Bring your locomotive.
Okay.
You can have it checked. Oh. You can have it. The doctor would be happy to look at it. And with all the vendors there, there's a number. And the piece that you're referring to is considered the transformer.
Right.
And that's where your power source comes from.
Right.
And there'll be plenty of those for sale at the show.
Well, thank you, Tanya. We have to take a break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile are here. The Albany Train Show is this weekend. We talk model trains and real trains, too, if you have a question. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Having fun today with model trains. John Basile, Doug Bafaro, and Jeff Stedge are here. The Albany Train Show is coming up this weekend at the Polish American Club on Washington Ave, correct?
Correct.
Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
What time?
9 to 3.
All right, gentlemen, quick email and then back to the phones. I have always admired model trains and train collectors, says Mark, but it seems like it's a hobby that's hard to break into. Trains are expensive. People who collect them know so much. How does one get started today if you don't know anything and you don't have a single model train? That is from Mark.
Can I take that?
A lot of us just got started by going to a train show or our parents gave us a train, but there also are places to buy trains, which are called hobby shops that specialize in trains. And the owners of those shops are very willing to teach you, and there are a lot of books and magazines with instructions on how to do stuff.
It's an obsession, isn't it?
And I couldn't.
It's an obsession, is it not?
Oh, yes. It's a, yeah.
It's, capital
it's
O.
A, yeah. It's a big one for all of us.
An H-O.
Yeah, we're going to be taking John back to the facility after this.
Well, that's nice. The number here is 800-348-2551.
If I can just interject something on that particular question, is not just the hobby stores, but, again, the train shows. There's a number of them in the Capital District and just outside. Most of the vendors that are selling in these shows are not selling product that some business people would look at. This was a passion. This was something that they all started as collectors and built it. And these are the people to talk to. And if you want to learn more about model trains and where to start,
yeah,
those are the guys to talk to.
And these guys are happy to tell you whatever they know. Yeah. They're very open about
and
their
you,
knowledge.
You can actually go online. There's actually a number. There's a website, which is worldsgreatesthobby.com. And you go on that website, and there are thousands of links give you all the information you want to know about model trains.
You know, the internet is really your friend. Back in the old days, if you were a kid, you wanted to get into this to find a book or find somebody who knew what they were doing. Now, if you're very good about your internet research, you can find out an awful lot. All right, let's go back to the phones. George in Albany. George.
Hello.
Hello.
My question is, I have a Lionel train set from probably the late 50s, and I've been told that the engine and tender that I have are quite a unique one. It's the Berkshire 736.
Hmm.
Yep, that would have been one of Lionel's higher end engines. They made the 736 starting in 1950. And they made it all the way through the 1950s, and they would have put that with their higher-end sets. Okay. How does it look? How's the condition of it?
Oh, it's in perfect condition in its original box.
That's nice. That's one of the things that we sort of didn't talk about. But, you know, we get a lot of questions from people who have trains, and they always wonder what they're worth. Well, as in real estate, with location, location, location being the most important three things, condition, condition, condition are the most important three things with any collectible that you have. And from what you're describing, it sounds like you have a fairly nice engine there. And if it's boxed and you've kept it in perfect condition, it's certainly gone up in value over the years.
Oh, excellent.
And I know your next question, so what's it worth? So that engine's going to be about $300.
Yikes. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, George. Hey,
and I'm sure back in the 50s it was probably a $50 engine.
Not even that.
Mm.
Really? You're probably talking about $29.95 or $24.95.
That's a good chunk of change for the 50s, though.
All right. Well, it is, right. Yeah.
George, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. We have Jeff Stedge, Doug Mafaro, and John Bazile here, and we talk about trains and model trains. And before I go to the next call, explain to those uninitiated how, in fact, a model train will actually move. You need a transformer. It's electrical, right? I seem to recall getting zapped a few times in my youth.
Well, that can happen, but it's low voltage that's used that comes out of the transformer that's hooked to the tracks. What's inside the locomotive is a motor. Now, the older ones, like the one that's next to me, that's a pretty simple motor. The more modern things have motors with circuit boards, sound systems with circuit boards, so there's a tremendous variety, but it all runs on AC or DC, depends on the manufacturer's product.
And part of the fun in, I would assume, part of the fun in making your own model train setup at home would be the detailing of the station and some of the surroundings and things like that.
Well, this is what a lot of people get into. But the best thing about the hobby is there's no wrong way to do it.
Right.
If you want to lay a piece of plywood down, a grass mat, throw the track down.
That's how we
did
it.
Great.
Yeah.
Then you have what they call referred to now as high rail, which is, as you were saying, you know, the highly detailed, doing walls and trees. And in fact, I know one guy in particular that based his whole layout on trees because he liked to make trees. And that was his layout. It was one line to track, but it was all trees.
Yeah.
So everybody has their thing and what they want to do with it. And there's no way to do it wrong. If it makes you happy, it's the way to go.
Jeff, you want to say something?
Well, I was going to sort of build on what Doug had said, which is that, you know, when he was mentioning they call model railroading the world's greatest hobby. And one of the reasons for that is because it touches on so many different disciplines. There are people that love to build benchwork for their trains. There are people that love to set up the electrical, have all kinds of different switches working, have all kinds of different accessories working. There are people that love the detail of building the scenery. They love the idea of building a diorama or working hard to weather a structure that they've built. And then there are people that just love to run the trains themselves. And then there are the afflicted like us who like to collect.
Yeah. One of the guys in the newsroom said that when he was a kid, he liked to put firecrackers on his trains and run them around the living room to terrify his parents.
Well, that's a discipline I hadn't touched on, but yes, okay.
It's a little disturbing, but that's the newsroom for you. John, what is your setup like at home? Do you have extensive stations and trees and whatnot?
I have a lot of stations, but my focus is primarily trains that were made before World War II, though I do run modern ones as well, but I run the two gauges. I run the O gauge and I run the standard gauge.
Yeah.
And so it's not a scale model railroad. I look at it as more of a toy layout.
Yeah.
And I like old 10 buildings, and I find as many as I can to put on the layout. But
that was standard in the old days for a setup?
Well, that's maybe all that was available back in the 1920s and 30s.
Yeah.
And then people made their own things. And so there's some pretty neat things people used to create with their hands, buildings and structures and even accessories that people put together.
Hmm.
And it's amazing how inventive some people were in order to make their layout at the time.
Well, I got to tell you, the lines have been loaded since moment one, so let's go back to the phones. And Scotty in Massachusetts. Scotty, you're on.
Hey. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey.
Hey.
I have a Lionel train also. But it's not in pristine condition like that other gentleman was talking about. But anyway, it's an S-type, and the engine is fairly heavy. And it says 666 on
it. Oh, boy.
And I know, but it has the coal rig with it, the box thing, the tanker, the flatbed, and the caboose. And I have the box.
Wow.
And it's got two buttons on it with the whistle and
cool.
a reverse.
So that's the 666. Also, that's the Ozzy Osbourne crazy train, I believe.
I know.
Yeah.
But, and it says Lionel Corporation on it, and it has a speed control, a dial on it. And I was just curious if that was, we've had it in the family for a long time, and I was just curious if it was something of value or...
All right, boys, what do you think?
My suspicion is it's probably a 1666.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Marx made a 666. That was when Satan owned the company
for a short period of time.
And,
get thee behind me.
But the 1666 is probably the engine that you have, the Lionel engine. And they were made right after World War II.
Yep, those were post-war locomotives. They actually made them slightly different versions as they progressed over the years, but that was a locomotive they used for quite a while in some of their entry-level and mid-level sets. Good, dependable locomotive. Actually, a good-looking little locomotive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yep. Yes, they are. So if it, you know, I mean, if it's not in pristine condition, you're ready to say, okay, this is not a collectible locomotive. It's still a fun locomotive, and you want to keep it running, and let's put that back on the track and do what it's supposed to do and
right.
have you sit there and enjoy it.
All right, yeah. Scotty, thanks for the call. It's Trains Today on Vox Pop. Doug Bafaro, John Bazile, and Jeff Stedge are here. The number is 800-348-2551. Mark in Salem is next. Mark.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
I guess I was doomed from birth. I grew up next to my great-grandparents, and my great-grandfather was a retired D&H steam locomotive engineer. He ran engine number 99, which was very uncommon for the D&H. They apparently didn't put the number 99 on a locomotive until the early 30s. It was an 080 converted from a consolidation. I've been a train not for all of my life. I have precision scale Challengers of the Delaware and Hudson. They're Union Pacifics, but they're painted for the Delaware and Hudson. I have the Northerns. I have a lot of resin locomotives made by Bradford Locomotive Works, representing the Delaware and Hudson. And I also kitbash Tyco and Mantua locomotives, mostly Camelbacks, which you can explain that to the audience afterwards. And I'm the newest thing out is what they call a dead track, where you use a battery and radio control. And that appeals to me because I'm not really interested in spending my later years underneath the table trying to wire things. And, I mean, I just can't do it.
Okay.
And the stuff that I've gotten, I bought a starter kit, and there were no instructions with it. There's no recharging unit with it. What do you have to say about battery powered?
Okay.
I have to say that's sort of original. I've never really heard that, though. That method is actually greatly used in the G-scale garden railways you see these days because, being the rails being outside, they would constantly have to clean them, so they use this dead track method. And it actually works fairly efficiently. But you would probably have to do really a conversion from scratch. I can't even think of any HO manufacturer that makes the battery-powered locomotives. And you
could
use...
They do in model railroad. There's a CVI, I think, is one of them, and it is available. I did have a G-scale railroad to my house burn outside and melted the tracks.
Sorry to hear that.
But the HO, that's something relatively new. It's come out in the last couple of years, and it seems like with the new lithium batteries, you can put them in the tender and along with your little... a computer thing, and you can operate it radio control. They advertise in Model Railroader magazine.
Yeah, one of the things that's happened with O-gauges is there's a huge push in the O-gauge world. I'm sure that you're familiar with Polar Express, and so they've been making the Polar Express sets for a while, and now one of the big pushes is to have these Bluetooth And that's really what it is it's a Bluetooth commanding setup that you don't need to have power going through the tracks. It's all powered through batteries, and it's commanded through
You don't have any traction loss, because if the tracks get dirty, they pull more cars.
Right. Oh, that's exactly right.
All right, Mark. Hey, thanks a lot, and best regards to the chickens. We appreciate the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Irwin in Lake George. Irwin, you're on.
Hi, good morning. Thanks a lot for hosting this, guys. I'm the vice president of the Hudson Berkshire Division of the National Model Railway Association.
Uh-huh.
We're the local region that covers the Albany and Capital region, goes all the way into Mass and Vermont and upstate. And I just wanted to thank everybody for doing this. But another great way to learn about the hobby is to check out joining NMRA. And that's www.nmra.org. And I'd also like to point out that the folks in the Albany area are really lucky, because they've got several really good model train shows to go to. Of course, there's the one this weekend at the Polar Center. But for people who can't make that, my division of the NMRA hosts a show in Albany on the 2nd of December.
Okay. Well, that's great.
WWGTE Albany.
All right. Well, hey, man, thanks a lot, Irwin. We appreciate the call, and a lot of calls here on the program today. 800-348-2551. Trains today with John Bazile, Doug Bavaro, and Jeff Stedge. And let's see, who's next here? Oh, looks like Ben's been waiting a long time. Ben in Poughkeepsie. Ben, you're on.
Hello. I have a Voltamp stationary electric motor that was used to power Voltam accessories.
Yeah, John will be down this afternoon.
The original box.
Uh-oh, that's a good one.
Is there any market for a thing like that?
Yeah, John's coming down this afternoon. When are you going
to
be there?
So this is an exciting find. All right, John, tell us about this.
Ben, Voltamp was a company that was created in Baltimore in 1908. They not only made trains, but they made a lot of other electrical devices that were used in early electricity. Now, what I presume you have is a small Voltamp motor, which was used to run all kinds of accessories,
such as
you would have made with the Rector, or the Germans made a lot of motor-driven accessories that were pretty fancy.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent piece. There is a market for them. I watched that market on eBay, and so it's interesting. And I have a couple Voltamp trains.
Neat.
You do. Well, I have some Carlisle Finch, but no Voltamp.
Okay, John will be down later.
Carlisle Finch is also good.
It is.
Okay.
Now I'll just mention Carlisle Finch was the first successful company making electric trains in the United States.
What year was this?
1895.
Wow.
I have a 1901 Carlisle Finch train.
Mm.
And
well,
it
I
runs.
I have a 1905 Carlisle Finch mining train that was a Christmas present for my father in 1905.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that's great.
I have my mining train dates from 1901, and it's boxed. Is yours boxed, by any chance?
No, mine is not boxed.
So John's got to go one up on you.
Yeah, this is quite a competition.
No, but it's interesting. There are two boxed mining sets within 20 miles of here.
That is so cool. Ben.
Are there really?
Yes, mine and another friend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Ben.
Wow. Great
very
to hear
interesting
from you.
One. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And we got to hear from the chickens. Always nice. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. Who knew that the lines would be so crazy loaded on a show about model trains? But I guess these guys here knew. Doug Bavaro is here, John Bazile, and Jeff Stedge. The Albany Train Show is Saturday at the Polish
Community Center.
Polish Community Center, right on Washington Ave Extension. And before we get back to the phones and one email, you know, we've talked about some of these different gauge trains you brought. And then there's the looks like to be brass, an old steamer of
some
kind.
She's an old steamer.
What is that thing?
So this is what is known as live steam. Now, before the advent of electricity and you wanted to have a toy train, you actually would heat up alcohol, and the alcohol would drive
sake?
The pistons. If you wanted to have a little sake in there,
okay.
Sake.
Oh, nice.
Yes. You could. You don't want to use the good stuff.
No.
The Macallan.
No.
You want to leave that up on the
so
shelf.
This is interesting. So this makes its own steam and goes.
This does. And these were what were known as Birmingham dribblers.
Yeah.
This is about the turn of the century, and not the turn of the 21st century, but the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And they would have gone along the floor, and they would have been dribblers because guess what? Live steam, you would have had water all over.
Sure, sure.
And so mom probably hated this thing.
Yeah.
Because it got all over the rug and did some damage. But this was one of the first trains.
That is so great. Now, how fast would that go if you put enough good booze in there?
80, 90 miles an hour.
No, really. Seriously.
No. I would have made it around the room there, but you know, probably at a 1 or 2 mile pace.
Oh, that is so amazing, yeah. And that's in such great condition. Now, is that brass?
This is brass. Yep.
The brass looks great on
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you
know that must be worth some money.
Well, this is probably about $250 to $300.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah. Oddly enough, there is quite a few of these out there. Not quite in this condition, but they are out there. And this would have been made in England, and again, right around the turn of the century.
Now, are there cars that would go with that?
Probably not. You would have just gotten this, and that would have been it.
Mm.
Because, in fact, if you look at the back of it, there's really no thing to attach cars
that's
to.
That's not a hitch on the back?
No, this is actually for the...
No, above that.
Oh, no, this is a bumper. So you got one here and one here.
Yeah.
So, and that would have been sort of prototypical because the trains, the actual... real trains did have bumpers on the front of them.
All right. And by the way, if you want to see any of this, WAMC.org is our website. We do have a live video stream. The camera angles, not so good, but you'll see something. This email came in and then back to the phones. This one is from Erica. And Erica writes, I have inherited a huge O-gauge train set, tons of old track and accessories. It's not pristine, but it is interesting. I listed it on eBay, but got no bids. What's the best way to rehome it? And that is from Erica.
They actually probably have just got several different ways. One would be to contact any local vendors or people that advertise looking for trains. You see them on Craigslist. Auctioneers, there's a number of excellent auction houses that deal primarily in model trains. And they're actually a good source because they can do an inventory. They'll pack it up. They can give you an idea of approximate value. If you watch the auctions, you can actually see that there actually still is a good selling market for trains. It's out there. So she's got a couple different avenues to go with.
Okay. Now, when you guys collect trains, the good ones never see the tracks, right? They're in boxes and somewhere in the corner of your house?
No.
You play them?
My rule is everyone needs to run. Now, some of them haven't run for a long time, and I need to do some work on them to make them run. But
yeah.
I have some pristine trains, but I run every one of them.
How about you, Doug?
I got a few of them that I don't like to run. I actually have one in particular, a brass locomotive that Lionel made in the 90s, and they called a Smithsonian piece. It was a Dreyfus Hudson made in brass for Lionel, came in a teak case and whatnot. It was made to be displayed.
It was made for collectors.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how about you, Jeff?
Well, my stuff's in boxes in the closet.
I knew it. There was one of you there. All right, back to the phones we go. Lincoln and Coxsackie. Lincoln.
Yes, I have a German HO tin plate diecast. That was the other tin plate I got from family over in Germany in the 70s. And I was wondering if there's anybody around that can do servicing or check them up.
Sounds like a job for the train show.
Well, yes. The thing you run into with the German stuff is, my guess is it's probably Marklin.
Yes.
Okay. And you're saying it's metal?
Yeah, they have die-cast shells, and some of the passenger cars are tin plate sides. That's when they made them really well. It's mostly plastic now with Marklin.
I'm going to guess that it's earlier than you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about 90% sure that that's going to be from the 40s or early 50s.
Or even maybe the late 1930s.
Should have been from the late
30s. Well, I got it as a Christmas gift in 1975. It was a passenger train set. And then my cousin over there in Germany gave me some of his that he had, and he's about 10 years older than me when he grew up.
Yeah. I mean, they did make some die-cast engines, but primarily most of the stuff, once you got to the early 60s, a lot of the rolling stock, whether it be freight cars or passenger cars, were going to be made out of plastic. A lot of the metal stuff would have been earlier. Now, if you do have something that's metal from the 70s, it would have been a higher-end piece. German stuff is – the electronics of it are not dramatically different than anything else. So,
are the gauges standard throughout the world?
They are very similar. Go ahead.
These are HO with the Marklin center, the center stud, which is similar to third rail, I guess, earlier.
Yeah, now, Marklin would have made stuff for the European market, and they also made stuff for the American market. The American market stuff would have been HO. In European market, it would have been what they call 00, which is very, very close. I don't exactly know what the difference between the 00 and the HO is, but the size, the relative size of it, and the closeness of the tracks is very close.
Voltage the same and everything else?
Well, over there they use 220.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Would you hurt your train by running it on those tracks?
You would hurt not so much the tracks, but if you put the wrong transformer to it, it could. You could do some serious damage.
They make transformers with the
step up transformers.
Will do that, right?
Yeah.
They'll convert them over. Also, Marklin had three different levels of trains that the HOs that they made in that period, and there was like an entry level, a mid level, and then you had a high end. Sets as well, and the way he's describing it sounds like it's either a mid level or a high end.
Yeah,
and the lithography and the paint and whatnot on them, they're gorgeous trains. They're beautiful to look at.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines here, and let's go to Tom in Windsor. Tom, you're on.
Yeah, I have a MTH O series, 027 series. It's an old, it's about 5 or 6 years old, and. It's a nice set, but I've got it up in my kitchen on the wall, and it seems to slow down a lot, and I seem to have to clean it with a denatured alcohol. I mean, how do I keep it cleaner longer? I know it's in the kitchen.
So. Try not to run it around the bacon grease.
He said it's in the kitchen. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an electronic toy, so, you know, if you're running into a situation where it has problems like that. I mean, there is some, you know, I kind of said that tongue in cheek, but there is some validity to the idea that if you're in the kitchen, you're running into a lot of extra elements that electronics don't necessarily like.
Yeah. I mean, so what should I do? Is there any hope for it? I mean, it runs.
Oh, there's always hope.
It runs,
Tom.
And then I have to just keep cleaning it, but. Mm. You know,
is there any way that you can encase it, like put a plastic case over it, or you have these little display pieces that, you know, that you can buy
protect it from the elements. Cover it when I'm not using it, you know.
Yeah. And instead of denatured alcohol, there's a spray you can buy at any automotive center, and it's actually an electrical contact cleaner, and it's plastic safe.
So a deoxid or one of those?
QA6, I think. Okay. There's several different
What's it called?
I'll be honest with you, I can't think of the proper name off the top of my head, and I use it all the time. That's the thing. Because
that's CRC?
CRC is one manufacturer of that.
CRC?
And basically, you can read the label on it, and it's any electrical contact cleaner, and it'll be deemed plastic safe because then you won't damage any other components on the locomotive.
Well, that's great. And over to Gort. Oops, wrong. Let's see. I think I did that. Sorry, call screener. I just knocked Gordon off the line, and now he's going to be upset. Let's go over to Mark in Rock Hill. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to make this quick because I don't want to take up a lot of time for other people, but I have a leftover from my childhood, and I believe it was made in the early 50s, a Lionel engine, and it's number 2065, 2065, and it's about a foot long and about 10 pounds, and I use it for lifting weights.
Nice. You got one for each arm?
No, I don't. I have to trade off.
That's funny.
That's actually a nice locomotive. That's a semi-scale Hudson with the preheater boiler over the boiler front. I actually have a couple of those. Great runners. Yeah, great runners.
Right. I remember that it has a smoker that you put the like a little aspirin inside the stack there, and it has the whistle and everything, you know?
Correct. Yep.
Right.
That's great.
I mean, can you just give me an idea of what it might be worth? I'm just curious.
Okay.
Depending on condition, like Jeff mentioned earlier, condition is everything, because that had little clearance lights in the front that had a tendency to break off. So if everything's intact and it's clean and it's, you know, and it runs decent, the motor's still in good shape, it's still $120 to $160.
All right, Mark.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. No, I appreciate knowing that. I mean, I just keep it as a shelf curiosity now, because I'm not really
And a barbell.
Sorry.
And a barbell.
Barbell, yeah.
Right. And a barbell, of course.
Hey, Mark.
But it is a heavy thing, I'll tell you. I would put this up against a subway car. I think this is made better.
Nice. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go to Gordon. I tell you, I hit some buttons here, Gordon, and I apologize. I freaked out our call screener and our engineer, but now you should be on the line. Gordon in Longmeadow.
Right. Yeah, Dennis Gordon. I called because a few callers ago you had someone who said he had an S-type Lionel engine, and he said it was a 666, and you talked about its value. It was a common engine. Actually, I think he was talking about the model of a Pennsylvania S2 steam turbine that I think only came online in the 50s as part of their lineup, and it was a 686. That's the wheel arrangement.
You are correct, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that engine is probably more valuable than the beginning engine that you seem to think he had.
Yeah, I mean, if he thought it was that number, you know, sometimes that's – you bring up a really good thing, Dennis, because you have two different things. There's some – one of the ways that we always identify the steam engines in Lionel is by the cab number. There's a number right under the side of the cab on both the left and right side. And the other thing is by the wheel configuration. And so what you are talking about is you're absolutely right. The S series, which would have been the S2, which would have been a turbine – would have been a 686, and they made that in three different varieties back in the 50s, the 671, the 681, and the 682. And you're absolutely correct. It's going to be a little bit more valuable than the 1666.
All right, Gordon, great call. Thank you. Now, another caller I screwed up by hitting the wrong button was Heather in Niskayuna. Heather, you're on.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. In 2004, my father bought my daughter a Lionel Train. I believe it's an HO, but I don't have it in front of me. And it was, I think, commemorating the New York City line. And he said it was difficult actually to get a hold of because it was right after 9/11. Wait, no, that wasn't. I'm sorry, 01, right? 9/11. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And so my question is, it's literally sealed in the box, still plastic wrapped, because she was a baby at the time. And I just heard you talking about running the train. Yeah. And I'm wondering, should I be opening that up and running it? Is it better to leave it sealed and pristine?
Well, that's a philosophical question. I mean, you're gonna make more if you want to sell it. But it's a train, it's supposed to run, right?
Hear, Ray. It is a toy. Doug, you want to take this?
What's your intent with the set? I mean, you want to keep it because your father gave it to her?
Yeah, I want to keep it and ultimately pass it on to her. But I want to, she's not that interested in it right now. Mm-hmm. But maybe as an adult, she would be more. So I want to pass it on to her as good condition so she can decide if she wants to keep it or sell it So I'm just not sure.
If it's her set and you don't know what you're going to do with it, leave it sealed. And if later on she decides she does want to open it and play with it, have at it.
That makes a good point. Well, Heather.
Okay. And do you know anything about, I know I haven't been able to give you much information, the train that I'm speaking of?
Well, we know it's Lionel.
And it's got, voice. It literally has the voice announcements of stops, I think.
Yeah,
you
sound like this.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's Satan. He's the one who owned the Marx Company. You know what? It would be they did make a bunch of sets that were similar to that, and it would be tough to tell unless there's a number on the side of the box, the set box.
Yeah,
and that tells you exactly what that set is.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Heather. We appreciate the call. Quickly over to Tom in Pequog. Tom, you're on.
Hello, Ray. I'm a huge fan of model trains, not so much for the trains or the layouts per se, but it's the architecture and landscape architecture of a beautiful train layout.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. Some people like that. Yeah.
In terms of that, I have two locations of should be on the bucket list of every FTRN out there, FRN, sorry, who the New York Botanical Gardens Holiday Train Show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Yes. Awesome.
Yes.
Oh,
phenomenal.
And also Northlands in New Jersey.
I've seen that too.
No.
Yeah, and if you're going to go to Northlands, you better do it soon.
Why do you have to go to Northlands soon?
Well, Northlands may be going up for sale, and it may end up being dismantled. The family is having a hard time just maintaining it. There's been some word on that. It's the largest public access model railroad out there. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot for the call. All right, we're just about done here, gentlemen. Let's get some final mentions of the Albany Train Show. It is Saturday. What time does it begin?
Saturday, 9 o'clock, goes to 3 p.m. It's over at the Polish Community Center, 225 Washington Avenue Extension in Albany.
Do you guys have a website?
We do. It is www.albanytrainshow.com. Very hard to remember.
Pretty exciting. Now, I got to say, as I've been taking calls here and as we have been going through the show, suddenly ideas have gone through my head about putting up an elevated track around the inside of my house like they used to have at Smitty's Tavern. Up in Voorheesville.
There you go.
And you know what? I think I'm going to do. What gauge should I use for that, though? I'm thinking.
Well,
not that huge one.
But another large gauge would be LGB, and that's what's used at the end zone in Mechanicville.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh, they have that running at the end zone.
It's approximately the same size as the standard. It's very close. LGB is probably the most prominent name in the G scale.
Yeah.
You see it used a lot. You see these garden railways out in the southwest.
Oh sure.
One. That's
yeah.
phenomenal. And that's the most common use because being it's high up, it's larger and it's more visible.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. That's almost as big as my house, so we'll have to go for a smaller gauge. Hey, gentlemen, we are done. Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Pazil, best of luck with the Albany Train Show coming up at the Polish Community Center in Albany on Washington Ave Extension. Support comes from Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Into the Woods. Every moment is a moment of the woods through November 18th. newpaltz.edu/theater. Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials. Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston. RhinebeckArt.com. And Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated for over 50 years with indoor and outdoor plants, gardening supplies, bird feeders and seeds, organic fertilizer and advice, HadleyGardenCenter.com. Well, thanks again to Jeff, Doug and John for joining us. Thank you for some terrific calls. And based on the number of calls, we will have to do this again sooner rather than later. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to the call screener, the exasperated Jesse King. I'm sorry about that. Thanks to our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday at All Boy. We have favorites Rick Orlando and Deanna Fox joining us to talk about how you can prepare for Thanksgiving. It's coming, you know. Drive safely in the snow. We'll see you tomorrow.